there, folks. It's Jonathan Denwood here. This is the Mel Wright Real Estate Agent Show. This is episode 60. Unfortunately, Jason Bates, my normal co-host, couldn't join us with this episode, but he'll be back next week. We've got a great guest here, folks. He's brave to come on the show, but he's up for it. It's Daniel Ashimajada, and I've just butchered his surname, but he's smiling, he's gracious, and he is the CEO of Raley, a really interesting system to help real estate agents. Well, Daniel, can you give us a bit more background information about your great company and about you?
A pleasure. Absolutely. So thanks for having me on your show. The name, let's just say that was probably the biggest butcher I've heard of my last name, but we'll talk about that separately. But yeah, we're based in New York. Raley is a startup that assists real estate agents and brokers to manage their leads that they generate online more efficiently. So agents have a big problem with responding to prospective buyers quickly. So they spend thousands of dollars generating these opportunities, but they don't have a efficient way to quickly respond and in a human way. So we provide the agents with 24/7 concierge service through text message.
And I've tried it myself, folks. I did a quick demo, and it was really very impressive. I was really impressed. I do apologize with the butchery of your surname, but I am notorious. And I mean, you're not the only poor soul that I have destroyed their surname. What I love about it is I was going to say a simple solution, but I'm sure there's a lot in the back end about doing this properly. So I wasn't being dismissive by saying simple, but what I like about it is you got a problem and you provide a bespoke solution. How did you come up with the idea and the foresight about the problem?
Yeah, absolutely. And when you say simple, I mean, it really comes down to, you know, it's a problem that has existed for quite some time, and the solution sounds pretty intuitive. But in terms of how Raley has come to fruition, Raley's an evolution of sorts. This is actually the fourth product that we've come out with in the last year and a half. That initial product has continually evolved as a result of not only the ideas not working, but being extremely data-driven about it, looking at what's working, what's not, talking to users, seeing what people would pay for. And this current evolution is a result of going to a brokerage firm and presenting to them an idea that we thought was awesome and something that would really be of value to them, and then them coming to us and saying, actually, this idea that you have isn't so great, but if you tweak it this way, it would be something we'd really pay money for. And that happened to be this solution that is able to assist them with handling their online leads. So that seems to be really the need in the industry, with 98% of online leads actually don't convert. So these agents are spending all their time qualifying and trying to scramble to respond to folks who, for one reason or another, are not ready to purchase. So a lot of time being wasted, a lot of leads falling through the cracks. But that, it's really just putting our egos aside and just saying, okay, what is the need in the space? And then what is a solution that we could come up with that embeds within the agent workflow? You know, the thing about real estate that we've quickly learned is that it's a pretty archaic space. Folks aren't receptive to new technology necessarily. So in order to bring something to the market that doesn't categorically affect their workflow. So we're not saying another CRM that's a very expensive switch, but what we're saying is, look, you're already texting. Have a better solution in place to assist you with your workflow that's within what you're already doing. It's not some foreign mode of communication.
Oh, I think that was a superb answer and with some great insights. You know, the thing I love about it, because I'm a great follower of Chris Smith and Jimmy of Curator, and hopefully Chris has agreed to come on the show in the next couple of weeks. But, he kind of really pushes forward that – you know, automation has a place, but you can take it too far, and it's got to have a kind of human face. And that's what I really like about your service. Because I was wondering, you know, obviously, with any new service, you've got to work out how people are going to push back about it, because we're all human, aren't we? And it's easier to say no than to say yes, isn't it, really? It's more safer, really, isn't it? And, you know, you're probably going to get a lot of agents say to you, I'm surmising this, but they say, well, how can one of your representatives really communicate with the client if they don't know anything about the home, the property and that? So how do you deal with that obvious kind of initial pushback?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that you brought up Chris. I spoke to him a few hours ago on the phone. So we are under the belief that autoresponders, as we know them, are going to die. We're not talking about bots, but we're talking about what's been in the industry for many years. Automated texts, automated emails that get sent when you reach out to an agent. You reach out to a real estate agent, and then instantly you get a text. Instantly you get an email, and you respond to it. By the way, before you respond to it, you get it, and it's impersonal. It lacks context. It's not responding to your message. And then you immediately respond, and you get nothing back. So responding quickly in and of itself through autoresponders don't suffice. And what we found is that the reason why you need that human element, particularly in the real estate vertical, is that these leads are saying some pretty crazy things. And whether it's crazy in terms of their life story or if it's something that requires empathy, you need to be able to adequately engage with them. And it's not as simple as saying, what's your budget, or yes or no, I'll look into that. But it's connecting at a deeper level. But to answer your question in terms of that pushback, we're talking about agents who typically respond. Some of them take hours to respond. And we're not pretending to be them. We're not saying that we're going to attempt to be Boris from, you know, the John Smith team. We're a secretary on their team. We're an office manager, a concierge manager. We're someone who the lead doesn't expect us to have the level of depth and insight about a particular neighborhood. Now, if they ask us, let's say they ask us a question, what are the taxes on this property? We won't just ignore it because we don't have the answer. We'll acknowledge the question, and then we'll maneuver the conversation forward. So we'll say, oh, I'll have our team leader look into that. In the meantime, what's your calendar looking like in the next few days? So it's that level of acknowledgement that a autoresponder would not do. You reach out to an autoresponder, and if it's not powered by a sophisticated AI, it would just say, I don't quite understand that inquiry. So you don't get any of that. So our thought is that if we send a single poor text, a single text that doesn't either make sense or isn't empathizing or anything, that agent is never going to use us again. We find it a big responsibility that we're handling. I mean, we're working with teams that spend $32,000 a month on Zillow, and we're handling all their leads. I mean, this isn't a joke. We're not talking about, you know, Fortune 500 companies. We're dealing with a small business owner, effectively, with 20 agents on his team, who is trusting us to handle all of his business opportunities and for us to be that initial point of contact. And an autoresponder just doesn't optimize the ROI that you could possibly get on that $32,000, we feel.
Yeah, and I've got to say, when I tested it around 8 p.m. on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, a good test, isn't it? Because when I've spoken to a lot of agents and brokers, that's typical. You know, a lot of people search on Zillow on the weekend. Let's text the agent, and that's exactly when the agent should be with his family, trying to have some family life. And I tried your system, and it's exactly how you described it. It comes across as personal. The person answering doesn't make out that the agent, but it was really impressive how they answered. And I don't think my questions were wacky. I tried to keep them. It was about an apartment in New York. That's what the demo. And I asked, you know, I think one of the questions I asked, what was the parking like? It's like asking what the parking would be like in central London. It's a ridiculous question, really. But it was answered pretty well. So I give you 100 out of 100.
Appreciate that. Yeah, it's you'd be surprised. You should have tested us. Yeah, the next time, you know, throw us a curveball. But you know, the reality is that, you know, that's just been, you know, to your point about the timing of these texts. These, you know, forget real estate for a second. We as consumers are 24/7, 365. We want what we want when we want it. We press a button, a car comes and picks us up. We press another button, food gets delivered to us. And we want to be able to reach out about a property and get that instantaneous response, but not automated, an actual person that we connect with. And in fact, we found that a little over 20% of the volume that we currently get is between the hours of 8 p.m. to 9 a.m. So, I mean, if you don't have a 24/7 solution, even if you have something during working hours, you're missing out on many of your leads. A fifth of your leads are going to fall through the cracks as a result of, you know, you just not having the right systems in place.
Yeah, and I think you got the right product at the right moment, really, because I went down to Ingman's event in San Francisco. I think it was about 2 weeks ago. Time goes quick. And 10 days ago. And I think a lot of the discussion was around social media, about response. There were some brokerages that were presenting, and they were saying exactly what you said initially. You know, if they have a system where the online lead is responded to in less than an hour at least, it increases the likelihood of that lead converting dramatically. And it really is something that a lot of agents probably aren't aware of, but they need to be aware of, don't they?
Well, I mean, the statistics out there, actually, there was an MIT study that mentioned that a lead that is responded to within 5 minutes is 21 times more likely to convert. So it really comes down to, and also the difference between 5 minutes and 30 minutes is actually 100 times. So it is what it is. I mean, it's just people, that's their expectation.
Can I ask you a little question? Because I've got my own startup. I'm a web developer by profession, sure. WordPress, and I run a very popular WordPress podcast, which I've been doing for almost 3 years now. Pricing's always a nightmare for any business, and especially for a startup. How did you get to the pricing structure you have now, and can you give some kind of insight about the pricing to the listener?
Sure, absolutely. And kudos to you for sticking with your podcast for 3 years. That's a grind, and that's exciting. In terms of pricing, we looked at sort of the both ends of the spectrum of what's out there. So on one end, you have autoresponders and automated solutions. On the other end of the spectrum, you have folks that you can hire either on staff or virtual assistants. So coming up with a price that was competitive to an autoresponder, we thought would be extremely compelling. So also a pricing model that wasn't contingent on the volume that they attained in terms of the volume of leads, but rather based off the size of their team. We also thought that that might be an interesting way to initially roll out our solution. So we're really optimizing for two things right now. If we're able to get more money, we get more money, but we're really optimizing for distribution. And at this current price, we're saying, look, you have the individual agent that exists in the world. You have the brokerage firm that exists. And then you also have teams, which are a growing trend within real estate. Yeah. And how do you come up with a price that doesn't turn off any one of those folks? This is a price that is competitive to the leading player in the space, which is called Five Street, a company that got acquired by Move.com in 2013. So it's more expensive than them, but with them, you're getting a one-off message. You get a single text message when you reach out for a property. With us, we have a full conversation with your lead. So it's really about, you know, the value proposition, really. But we've heard feedback. You know, pricing is a tough thing. I mean, we've heard feedback from our users that we're priced way too low for the value that we're providing. It's one of those things that, especially as we're closing our seed round as we are right now, as we get to the next stages, especially now that when you're talking to these larger firms to see how an enterprise account would look like, you know, it's a tough thing to gauge, but it doesn't hurt to start higher and go lower rather than start where we are and go higher. So I would say to the listener, you know, shoot for as high as you can go to start. If you get pushed back, then you could, you know, consider that. But when no one's judging, when no one is saying no to you because of your price, maybe increase it. And that's kind of where we are right now. No one has told us like you're way too expensive. So that's not a good thing.
Oh, I think it's fantastic, though. You know, because I think you said it in your opening statement. You know, at the lowest level, Zillow, Realtor.com, you're looking at $330, $350, and it rapidly goes up to $500, $1,000. I know a couple boutique power groups that are spending $3,000, $5,000 easily. So when you're spending that kind of money, you know, when you look at your system, it should be an easy choice, really, shouldn't it?
Well, that's the thing. When you said earlier that it's sort of a simple solution, it's a blessing and a curse in that sense, in that it's very easy to understand. We also have to be super cautious about really what you're building. Are you really just building a service that is just responding to these leads? And really, what is the billion dollar opportunity there? If it's so simple and if it's not too crazy, then it's not going to be, it's not going to be as exciting as it can be, right? If you're just saying, we're fully human, we're always going to be fully human, and that's good. But for right now, for the present moment, yeah, it just makes sense.
Yeah, we're going to go for our breaks, folks. We'll be coming back. We'll be talking more about Riley. We'll be talking about Daniel's background, which is really interesting. I want to ask him a few questions like that. And we'll be back in a minute, folks.
Buying or selling a home in the greater Reno, Tahoe area? I know the best CRS real estate broker, and that's Karen Conrad. And you can find her at KarenConrad.com or call her directly at 775-527-7021.
We're coming back, folks. I've really looked forward to this discussion in a way, and it's measuring up to my expectations. I think it's quite interesting myself. So you've got a quite interesting background. So you gave us some details, TED residency, and then you also worked for a venture capital firm in San Francisco. So how long was you working for those, and got any kind of insights in the madness of Silicon Valley, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I wasn't born in this in the US. I was actually born in France to Iranian parents. Quick backstory. Moved to the States when I was one. So I was a bit of a Parisian souvenir, if you will. And I've been living in the Bronx my whole life in New York. So while I was an undergrad, I went to a local university here in New York called Stony Brook. And the entrepreneurial bug sort of bit me pretty early on. I had started the Quidditch team my freshman year. That was a bit fun explaining to my parents that my GPA slipped because I had to practice for an important Quidditch match against NYU on live Japanese TV.
I'm sure they were really impressed.
Oh yeah, it was the talk. The whole family was thrilled. They totally understood where my priorities were and why. But you know, my sophomore year, I sort of got into the tech space by joining a startup in San Francisco called CareMessage. CareMessage is a solution that texts patients to take their medication on time and attend their appointments on time. So that startup ended up, you know, one of the first people there. I mean, there was only one founder, and I was sort of helping him out. I just really wanted to immerse myself. I was a sophomore, and eventually that company went through Y Combinator, Google's nonprofit of the year in 2014, raised $9.8 million 2 years ago from donors, even. It's a nonprofit. So from there, that opportunity, and when you look at the graph, I mean, or look at the dots, rather, I came back to school, cold emailed a bunch of VCs, got really interested in the space of the other side of the negotiating table when it came to funding. And here I was, a state school student with no real, I mean, that door wasn't meant for me to knock on in terms of VC. You're talking about gigs that are traditionally for the MBAs of the world, the Ivy Leagues of the world. And, you know, I just emailed a bunch of folks in SF and in New York, and I said, listen, I just want 20 minutes of your time. I'll be on the next flight over to meet you. That's what I said to the folks in SF. And then one guy in San Francisco said, if you're serious, meet us tomorrow at 7 a.m. So I literally got on a flight. I went to SF. I was there the next morning. I met Tabriz Virgi, partner at Uprising. They've invested in companies like Lending Club, Lyft, Change.org. So I was their founding associate of their fund. And it was, I had no idea what I was doing. I learned a lot, and, you know, and it was, and it was kind of just hooked from there. And fast forwarding, I just completed a residency program at TED. TED Talks, their headquarters are here in New York. They launched a residency program where they brought 27 individuals from all over the world working on completely different ventures, completely different sectors, and put them in a space and wanted to see what would happen. And at the end of it, we each gave a TED Talk, and that just wrapped up about a month ago. But it was a lot of fun, and it was very humbling to be the youngest person within that cohort and surrounded by these people who are a lot cooler than I was and am. But that's kind of been sort of my, you know, undergrad, a few YC startups, Y Combinator startups that I was a part of, graduated, I was at a company called Major League Hacking, but yeah, it's just try to surround yourself with good people who've been through the trenches. My basketball coach would always say, if you want to get better at basketball, play against people who are better than you. So I've just been thankful to be able to work for and alongside some awesome founders and really be more focused on who I work with rather than where I work. So Care Message isn't Facebook, but I'd much rather have that experience than be person number 10,000 at Facebook.
No, I think that's a great insight. It's an amazing story, really. Thank you for sharing that. I really, yeah, it was really an amazing little story. Something comes to my mind. You know, you mentioned it in the first half, kind of customer relation systems. You know, Daniel, why are they still so awful in general? You got any insights why they're still so bad?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, CRM, customer relationship management software solutions, incredibly fragmented, and that's vertical agnostic. So folks, looking at the real estate vertical for a second, every real estate agent has a different system that they use, or they use a spreadsheet on Excel. And the reason for that, we believe, is that these individuals or these teams, they're onboarding these new systems and expecting them to have already the sales process in place, already a workflow in place, whereas they don't even have those things internally. And so a CRM is only as good as you're able to inject your own processes within it. And these agents just don't have those processes. So it's not an issue of the CRM. I believe it's an issue of the sales process and the workflow. And it's really that these CRMs aren't designed to mimic or mirror the workflow that these different constituents have. So that's really why we think it's fragmented. I mean, no one is looking at CRM from a workflow standpoint. When that lead comes in, how do you bring it to the next stage and to the next stage and nurture it in a way? And the systems in place are autoresponders, automated drip campaigns, and putting them on 23 touch point cadences where you sign up to their website and for the next 6 years you get automated emails. I mean, it's absurd. But that's really what it comes down to. And look, we have 10,000 emails in our inboxes. We don't have 10,000 texts. So we just find that the mode of communication is changing. Behavior is changing. Messenger. Look, text message might die in a few years. I mean, it just comes down to, you know, our processes are changing and these CRMs aren't quickly adapting. I mean, I'm not even going to mention their name, but there's a leading CRM in the real estate space that is – yeah, their UI, their user interface, their user experience is at least 10 years old.
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about, but I agree with you. I'm not going to name names because I just don't want to go down that path. But I think you said another thing when we're talking about this is that I think they try and do almost every. I was tempted to go down that road a little bit with MailRite, and already I got. I had a bit of feature creep anyway, but at least I stopped myself with three core products that Mailright does. And I stopped at that, and I resisted for it to become a to build kind of interface which competes with a customer relations system. And I think a lot of these customer relationships, like they do the drip marketing, they do this, they do that, they do the other, where they should be concentrating and taking what your which I love about your company, is you're just trying to do one thing and do it really well, yeah. Right? And you could accuse Mailright, I've got three core things, but it's all about curated content. That's what Mailright's about, curated content. But I think a lot of these other systems, they're just trying to do too much. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I don't think it's exclusive to the CRM world, to be perfectly honest. I think especially if you're starting out with any venture, the more you spread yourself out, the more you're spreading yourself too thin in a way. The more features you bring on, the less any given feature will be as fantastic as it could be. So, and especially when you're just starting out, your resources are extremely limited, whether that's human resources, tech resources, money resources, right? You're more likely. Yeah, you know, I think my mom gave a good analogy. She said, "Whatever you do, don't be a duck." And I said, "What do you mean by don't be a duck?" And she said, "Well, a duck. What can a duck do? A duck could do a few things, but it can't do any one thing really well. You know, they could walk, they could swim, they could fly. But you know, you look at a cheetah or something. That cheetah could run, right? Like, yeah, you want to be that one thing. You want to be the Usain Bolt. You want to be that guy who can run, will do one thing really well. Like the guy can sprint. he's really good at running. So I think when I look at myself and we look at sort of the CRM world, it's like, look, I'm just, you know, myself and my two co-founders in this 480 square foot studio in New York City, you know, try to introduce ourselves in this world of technology and real estate. And it's like, there are all these players in CRM. And it's so fragmented, and the switch is so costly. Let's just focus on one thing that none of these folks could really do as good as we can if we just focus our 110% on it. Because at the end of the day, what is the stickiest part about these software solutions? It really comes down to distribution. Unless their technology is categorically different, like they're not really categorically different. They're pretty similar technology across these different CRMs. You have some that, you know, sure, you could say now they're predictive CRMs and they might have machine learning involved and natural language. But really what it comes down to is these technologies are very similar. So how do you stand out? And we think you could stand out by just saying, look, Zillow, you're the mammoth of this world. You're doing everything. You're a lead gen company. You're a marketing company. Sure, you want to have Zillow concierges? By all means, provide that. But the cost of you perfecting that solution for your business is much more expensive than it is to look at another person who is doing that and doing that a lot better.
I think that's a fantastic insight. I'll give you a little story. They're really great people. Because my upper service of Mailright, we utilize, I'm a great fan of Facebook, and yeah. I've been working with a couple of brokers where we get leads and then we're emailing the leads, and then I was influenced by your system that we actually text them the leads, right? So I was trying to find a system that would do it automatically, text it to their phone, and I found Agile CRM, and I've been working with them, and they're really fantastic people, and they've been very, very helpful. And it's not a go at them. It's all right when you start using it, because I've had to learn the interface as part of doing the one thing that I want it to do for my test brokers. But my God, they've thrown a lot of stuff in it. But I'm used to this. I'm used to these type of systems. When I first logged in, I thought, where do you begin? Where do you start with this thing? You know, it took me a hot, it took me a whole weekend reading all their technical materials and playing them, and now I grasp it. But yeah, I think simple is a good place to start, don't you?
No, I mean, absolutely. I mean, the reason why I would think that any system is confusing out of the box is that what's out of the box isn't intuitive to the process that you already have in place. You already have your own workflow. You already have your own way of doing things, whether it's conscious or not. I mean, some people, they think they have a sales process. Some people don't think they have a sales process. But they actually have some process. It's just not on the wall. And with these CRMs, they're kind of feeding you that you know, look, this is how things work. But really, you have your own way of having that. The way that so that's why people resort to the spreadsheet, because look, it's just here's some cells and some rows, and now you have full autonomy to dictate what goes in cell A1 versus a CRM that tells you, okay, these are the few buttons that you can click and what you can do. By the way, we don't have a tutorial, so you have to figure it out on your own. Yeah, I mean, it's going to remain to be, in terms of the future of CRM, I'm pretty bullish when it comes to chatbots and just, you know, it's clear that so is the industry, especially with that high of last year, people investing in chatbots and that really dying down this year. But in terms of you look at CRM, I really see AI and bots be instrumental to the future of CRM. Think of an AI-powered CRM, a CRM where a secretary is injected within your CRM. That could be pretty powerful. So, that's kind of where, personally, I think CRM is heading. And Salesforce IQ is a very rudimentary version of a more intelligent CRM. And look at the exit that they had with Salesforce. I think it was north of $400 million. That's kind of like the 2015 version of CRM. Yeah, I'm just very excited what 2025 version of CRM is going to look like. And it's pretty safe to say that we're going to have a ton of AI embedded within it.
All right, that's great insight. So I think we're gonna end the formal part of the podcast. We're going to continue the discussion for another 10, 12, maybe 15 minutes. Depends how boring I become. So Dale's been quite generous with his time. But we're going to continue the discussion on, and you'll be able to go to our YouTube channel, go to the website, and you'll be able to watch some more of this discussion. I think it's been fascinating. So how can people get hold of you? And I think you got some kind of special offer for the listeners, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the first point I want to make is thanks again for having me on. It's been a pleasure. And looking forward to connecting with all of you who are listening. The best way to get in touch with me is either reach out to me via email. It's just my first name at getrileynow.com. Or if you want, you can text the number that's on our website and that'll also get a hold of me. But yeah, in terms of any listeners that are out there, if you want to try out our product, and if you have any feedback around what we're doing, we are 100% we 100% look forward to that. So we're offering, you know, to use our system, play with it for a month, no card ask, just check it out, use it, play with it. And who knows, we might learn some new insights from you in terms of maybe other verticals that it could be applicable. And I'm an open book. Any questions, I'm always happy to help. If you're in the trenches too, let's connect.
That's great. So, folks, I think that's been a really great, insightful discussion. We'll see you next week. Hopefully, Jason will join me, will control me. And thanks, Dale. You've been a great guest, even though I totally butchered your surname, but you took it gracious. So that's the main thing. We'll see you next week, folks, for another Mel Wright Real Estate Agent Show. Bye, folks.